Live from Los Angeles, this is The Bachelor Masters, and wouldn't you know it, there's some exciting content in last night's Bachelorette. It's a refreshing change from the last few episodes. I assume we're going to run down a little bit of the second episode of The Proposal, which was identical to the first episode of The Proposal, although the ending was a little bit of a twist, I guess. You know, I listen to other podcasts, Chris and EZR, as you know, and I tuned into one called The Bachelor Zone. It's four dudes. Uh-huh. I think they're a bit like us. I think they're non-corporate and, you know, a name for themselves, get some followers and whatnot. They were all over The Bachelorette season. They think Becca's great. They think the season's great. I tried to reconcile their thoughts with ours, and I really couldn't.
Well, Craig, you say they're not corporate, but are they?
Yeah, maybe there's a secret tie-in. This is the sneakiest kinds, right? Maybe they're like an ABC front company, front podcast.
Some people watch the show and think, oh, it had these three things I looked for. I looked for a good date. I looked, you know, and that's right. Not really what we're looking for.
Right.
So
that's a good way of putting it, EZR. Chris, you're hushed a little bit because you're in your work setting. We're recording a little bit earlier today, so you're coming from your offices.
Absolutely. And I'm not ashamed to say live from Hulu. So right. We were just saying not corporate, but then here I am in the belly of the beast. So there we go.
It's not until the production's already wrapped that it finds its way to Hulu. So
absolutely.
There's no, well, in that direction, at least, there's no influence that can happen. But Hulu is, of course, our unofficial sponsor. Thank you, Hulu. Thank you, Chris. And we are watching the episode, as we usually do, on our Hulu apps, so we can be prompted to talk about certain things. EZR, why don't you kick us off? I know you have a litany of things to say about
it. You know, if I have one big thing to say is that normally, if you were, you know, I don't know, on a road trip or on hitchhiking for the last couple weeks and you just got back and you're thinking, I want to watch The Bachelorette, at this point, I'd be like, it's too late. You can't start it. You'd have to start all over. But Becca, being the, let's just say, guys don't think she's as much of a catch.
Right. We've been over this.
Yes, we're going to go over it. You could start watching now, and you're fine. Right. Because now it feels like it's actually starting.
Yeah, that's for sure. Leave it to Las Vegas to bring us back to the raw, nitty-gritty Bachelorette formula. Chris, did you get a chance to watch The Proposal last night?
I did. I caught up on the first episode I missed last week. I saw last night. And I'll keep watching. My biggest worry, I think you guys went over this last time, is that the cast isn't consistent week to week. That's the biggest hurdle I have, is it's hard to get attached to anyone.
Yeah,
but
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, EZR, but the first episode, right off the bat, they cut 2 out of 10. I think last night, right off the bat, they cut 4 out of 10.
Yeah, the numbers elude me.
Maybe they
I'm pretty sure both were 4.
Was it?
Oh. Both were 4. Yeah, because that's what they did with us. Oh, so we have a little bit of, it just so happens that the Proposal episode we saw live. Now, I am 90% sure that this is true. Our show is the one that had the, I mean, have you guys heard what happened?
There was
it's a little bit of a stretch.
Why don't you fill us in?
Okay. So apparently our guy, and this is a guy that we saw him outside of The Proposal, and me and Craig and then the other person we were with, Mark. Well, I don't know how much he cared, but me and Craig were definitely like, that's our guy. How cool is that guy? He was a Euro Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he was like a long vampire hair. Tom Cruise. That's what we call him.
Which I searched that on the internet once a day, so I would have been over the moon to be there for Euro Tom Cruise.
He was so cool. Like,
it was
we just thought he was
vampire Tom Cruise, but thinner and more sickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He made a perfect... young, he would, if they were gonna make Interview with the Vampire like origin stories where Christian Slater is a little, like, they're all Muppet baby kids, he would be perfect. What happened was that this woman said that she matched with him on Tinder, then he met up with her with 2 other men, and one of the men, and then he left, and one of the men drugged her. So now they cut this whole show. now that that show is out,
has this been confirmed?
Pretty positive it's him. The only reason I can't confirm is because I don't know his name because we missed it. I remember how loud it was in there. Everyone was cheering, and so we couldn't really hear.
And when we asked the MC comedian guy, he thought we were talking about the other long-haired dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and his... The guy's name who is the one that got that episode cut is Michael J. Friday. This guy, it looks like a Michael J. Friday. He looks cool. Like he'd have a initial middle. He looks that cool. My issue is that this lady said this. Maybe, you know, this is kind of one of our pricklier issues in this era we live in, is that unlike Lincoln, who's been convicted,
right,
they scrapped this episode for someone that gets cut. I mean, he says maybe a whole sentence, and that whole episode got scrapped. Yeah. We had to sit through 6 hours of this crap.
I know, yeah, exactly.
Or and something that got scrapped.
Only thing, he got cut. He was one of the first four to get cut. So all he would have done is come out, spun around, and said, did they even
say
something?
Pre-taped thing. Yeah, he had a pre-taped piece
that says something.
Like, oh, hey, I'm from, you know, blah, 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 and I really love kite surfing. Like, that's all they say, and that's it. And then he got cut. He didn't make it to the next round. And so...
Yeah, we were booing, you know, because they want you to be really dramatic with your emotions.
Oh, yeah. But here we have Lincoln, and they don't address that at all. Right. They're somehow picking and choosing. So I guess my bigger issue is with their cost-benefit analysis of who gets to go on, because we've already filmed a whole season of The Bachelorette, and that is not, doesn't matter to them. But the offensive part is that someone wrote a Facebook post about a strange setup. I mean, you get two of your buddies to come on a date with you, and then you leave, and one of them drugs the girl. Like, it's not that it's unbelievable. It could have happened, but that's, like, take that to the authorities immediately.
Yeah.
Don't take it to Facebook, you know?
Right. Well, it would be a shame if our episode didn't make it on, but, you know, sexual assault's a serious thing. It takes precedence, but we were kind of hoping we could see ourselves in the background, I guess. Of course, the odds are pretty slim of that happening, but...
Right. The issue is that we look at Lincoln every week, and he's getting tons of notoriety, even though he's convicted, so...
Well, he'll have a fun time tweeting in prison. So.
Let's
Although,
see.
Did he get, like, a deferred sentence? I don't know how any of that works.
Who knows?
Well, Chris, it sounds like you don't like not having characters to invest in on the proposal.
Yeah, the format is a little more fresh to me because I haven't seen as many of these shows before. So I take the point about it being like other brands that have shows like these. But because it's new to me, I like that. I just wish there was a through line week to week, or there was some element of being able to invest. I was worried at the first episode, that it would always be a guy getting these women, because it's very odd when you have the man in the booth looking at women in their swim gear.
Right.
But the fact that they switched week to week made me feel better about that as the thing they do in the show.
The host, they toned down a bit the second episode. There was a lot of them the first episode and a little less of them the second episode. The Carson Palmer's brother guy,
Jesse Palmer,
which was nice. And I think they needed to leave a little bit more room for the ending, where it was Muppet number one and Muppet number two, who were probably the least good looking of all the guys that she ended up picking. And I thought it was funny because there's these two Muppets up there who probably, you know, don't have much luck with high-caliber women, and then out walks this woman who looks like she's, you know, going to New York Fashion Week or something. She's got, like, her hair all bleached, and she's wearing this dress and, like, makeup everywhere. They totally... And then the guys are, like, you know, they got, like, zits on their face and stuff like that.
Well, you know, the one guy that wasn't very religious knew he was done when they asked him the religion question. That was the part that I really laughed at. It's like, shoot, I'm not getting picked.
Yeah, that happened in the first episode, too. Someone says something like, that's not my thing. But it was something that was obviously, that she didn't want to have kids.
Yeah, well, he calls
and
them
it's like, well,
deal breaker questions, right?
Yeah. Well, have you guys ever heard that people outsource Tinder? So they're working professionals.
Oh, okay.
And then they hire someone or a company at this point.
It's Just Lunch. Isn't that what that is?
No. This is a little different. This is actual Tinder. So I'm too busy to go on Tinder and swipe left or right. So you have got someone do it for you. And then you set up a date. And then you end up just going on these dates. But after much vetting, and this is what this feels like, right? These people are too professional to really go on The Bachelor. So they are going through the fast lane.
Well, I'm glad you said that because maybe this is should be our final take. I'm kind of stalling because I figure we don't have much to say about Colton.
Oh.
But my final take on the proposal, I think, I don't know if I'm going to keep up on it anymore. I'll glance at it. I don't know if I'll watch the full episodes. But I've said this before. It's way too overproduced and glossy. It would have worked great if it were in a bar or restaurant. There was a show on recently called Date Night Live, either on Bravo or E or one of these, where they had dates at bars, blind dates, and then they had live cameras, and then they would check in and make jokes and stuff like that. I thought it was a pretty clever show. This could have been, the proposal could have been the speed dating show, because it is speed dating, but if they put it in a setting and glossed it down a little bit, I think it would have really worked. The fact that Carson Palmer is saying the same exact thing, and there's all the camera movements and the crowd reactions, it's just too much.
It is so boring. It is so bad. They got to know that's not going to last. There's no one who likes that show. No. I mean, maybe I can't. No one's like, I'm going to tune in next week.
I want another hour of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to bed at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock?
Well, I think that speaks to a demographic. But yeah, I want to not watch. It feels cheap because we are investing all this time in The Bachelor and they're getting it done in an hour and you're like, wait a minute, that's what Bachelor in Paradise kind of sums up at the end of two seasons. You feel like, oh, I was waiting to get to this part, but then you feel like you wasted a whole season.
No bad remarks about Bachelor in Paradise. That is Kristen my favorite of the Bachelor franchise.
It's my favorite too, but because I've gotten to know these people over probably one or two seasons of something, of Bachelor or Bachelorette, and then you get to know them in a new environment, but then you feel, oh, wait a minute, here's four relationships coming out in a shorter amount of time than the Bachelor or Bachelorette took. Why does that feel better or more satisfying? Or I feel like I got more done. And this is even shorter, right? But you don't care about these people. There's nothing to care about. There's only people walking on stage. It just feels like they can't speed it up any more than Bachelor in Paradise. That's as fast as I want to go.
Yeah. Well, I think you're on to something in taking away the veneer of production. I think there would be more of an appetite for that. That's a great point. And I think The Bachelor in Paradise does have the usual bachelor ceremonies, but something that's nice about it is it feels like it's a less produced version of The Bachelor. To me, it feels messier in a good way that you might see if you were out on the casual dating scene in the real world.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
They should just have Mike Fleiss interviewing contestants in a hotel restaurant. That would be... If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to our countdown show from a few podcasts ago.
The best anecdote that I've heard, showbiz anecdote, in a long time.
Is it a famous anecdote now in Hulu HQ?
Yeah, it is to me, so yes.
Well, Colton's winding down
Colton.
Here. I think we can re-enter The Bachelorette. Anyone got anything to say about Colton?
I know you'll have more than I have to say, ECR, but I think Colton had the best example of something that we said 2 weeks ago, I believe, which is he says, I love you, or I'm falling in love with you. And Becca has an interview where she basically makes our point where it's okay that he said it. I wanted to hear it from him, which is in contrast to the Jean Blanc thing. We were saying basically someone wants to hear it or they don't. And the circumstances, they'll rationalize in their mind. That's exactly what I thought here. It's like, he could have said it whenever he wanted. She was glad to hear it.
Oh, yeah. Also, I think we kind of also said at the time that Jean Blanc is not only, wrong time, but also not the person. She feels like he stole that moment because you hear it from the wrong face. And she did not want to hear it from him because she wasn't attracted to him in the end or whatever the issues are. What I really like about this date was when he got picked or however it happened, he got the card. He goes and he has a camera interview and he goes, oh, it's going to be just us. And his face of dread of like, I'm not looking forward to that. It was really classic.
I must have missed that.
You guys at some point should rewind it. And he just goes, oh, it's just us. He has this like, dang, I don't really want to do this face. I thought it was funny. And then they reminisce about a couple hours prior. Mm. They're sitting at dinner and they're like, the coolest part. Yeah. I can't believe how cool that was. Like,
remember when you went on the group date?
Yeah. Well, they were saying, I had such a good time. Yeah, we were on the camels and they just done it. I mean, even if it was hours before, it just feels like one of those relationships you want to justify. She keeps doing the same thing we keep talking about. Come, look behind you. There's a sign that says, kiss me. Do it, do it, do it. She keeps kind of pushing guys. I like when she goes into the Las Vegas hotel room and she like does like a plop on the bed. Like, yeah. And then she's like, pile on, guys, pile on. Let's have fun here.
Well, I was thinking about you, ECR. You know, it was so cool. We're now watching Wayne Newton. When they get out of the limo at Wayne Newton's estate, they're all walking towards Becca, and she's like, come on, come on, run.
Yes.
I know you love that.
Oh, my gosh. That was – this is – it. Conglomerately, it's hard to watch. I'm thinking about cutting it all together, but it is very like
– a montage of Becca
– not interested they are.
Begging the guys to give her attention or something.
Yeah. Hopefully. Pour the Gatorade on me. Pour the Gatorade. Do it. Do it. Like, it just feels very like, come on. You know you like me. It's right. So hard to watch. I guess in this episode, we have a few examples. Basically, I'm saying this to convince Chris here to kind of be on board with me and Craig about how they don't like her. Leo makes a comment basically saying like, wow, you're getting so much better looking, a.k.a. I've had to look at only one girl for 5 weeks. You're starting to grow on me.
He was just flirting with her. It didn't mean. I think you're reading too much into that comment.
Okay, well, and then Chris doesn't want to hang out with her, and then Colton has that look of dread, and then Jordan and David are honestly not interested. I mean, maybe David is. I did believe David kind of was, but Jordan is like.
Well, case in point, so David's the chicken, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Jordan and Chicken are on the bed out in Red Rock and they're arguing and she comes back, I think it's the second time, and Chicken goes, well, I'm going to kick things off. Jordan's like, no, I don't think you should kick things off. And then they just start bickering over Becca. I thought that was the funniest thing.
Oh, it's so cute. It looks like they're flirting.
And she made the comment about being in sixth grade and how petty everything is. But there's always a couple every season that's like that it's their feud becomes more important than the relationship. So I don't see that as out of the norm either, is what we get every year.
Right. And it's the fun. I would not walk away from that. I mean, I would, because I'd be like, come on, guys. But I wouldn't in terms of knowing that it's part of what's going to happen with 20 guys or 20 girls.
David dig into Jordan. I wish he were a little more aggressive, because he always seems more scared to make fun of him in front of the other guys. Like, he's making these little quips for the benefit of the other guys where he's like, what look was that? Oh, did you give her the angry look? But he's very timid as he's doing it. It's so stupid.
That's what's so funny. He has such a hard time. You know, they don't cross a line. And when one does, it's typically Jordan who screams in his face. They can't. Yeah. He has a way to, like, they're running on parallel tracks, because there's no way they're ever going to touch each other. But they will get to their angriest they can get at a certain point. Well, it kind of reminds me of.
I talk to God every day, and people that go against me just end up hurt sometimes.
So his justification, like his, you fell out of bed basically because I got God on my side.
Mark your calendars, everyone. That was the first time we played a clip that hasn't taken like 10 seconds to load.
It was well placed. It was very well inserted. And when Jordan talks to God, people get hurt. Beware.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Jordan took a few too many amphetamine pills or something. I mean, I know when people get in arguments, we talk faster and more elevated. But even when he was just sitting with Becca, I think my favorite scene of the whole episode, and one that made it really, I think, a good episode for me, is when he finally sits down to dinner with Becca, having won the two-on-one. And he's like, all right, you know, let's get to know each other. And Becca's like, yeah, sure, I'm an open book. He goes, okay, what's a weekend like for you?
I love that.
And she doesn't even finish. He's like, well, you know, for me, it's all about taking showers and getting naps and then, you know, doing my hair. That's like classic upper creep right? You've taken a few too many uppers, and you're just talking over everyone.
Well, yeah, because you could tell that he was still angry. He was still talking about the feud a second before, and yeah. Becca has to make the comment where it's like, well, we've talked a lot about the feud, but I really want to get to know you. And then he's right there. He's like, what's a typical weekend like? But you can tell that that's not what's on his mind at all.
He has trouble winding down. That's a good insight.
When I watch this, that part of him, they're finally on their date. She's saying, that's in the past, don't worry. It reminded me, not that part, but the interaction they have where it's just about him and she knows it's over, but she lets it go a little bit longer. It reminds me of the guy she sent home on the first night or the first couple hours. The guy that, forget his name now.
Christmas
but
party
he's
man.
The guy that she knew from Minnesota or Minneapolis, only because he kisses her and I felt like, this is me talking as an instinctual girl thing. She ultimately won by getting him to kiss her. And I do feel like he did not want to. And then she dumps him. And it was like sweet revenge, like she did with the first guy. And now it's making me think that she's smarter or more vindictive than I'm actually giving her credit for. Now, I do think that she has bad instincts. I think her instincts are all over the place wrong. She let go of John. She let go of David. And I think they're two guys that actually liked her, but she's keeping on people that are just blankly like her, like Lincoln and Leo even. I mean, I love Leo, but I don't think he likes her, you know. So I just thought it was such an interesting, like, he kissed her. And he did not like it.
Yeah, and then Twitter was like, all over that. They thought it was, because the way he phrased it, he's like, let me get something I've wanted. Or what did he say to her? To lean into the kiss? It was really...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he had a weird line.
And
yeah.
Good for her for getting out of that one. Oy.
Well, I don't know if she kept him around that much longer just to kiss him, because she didn't kiss David. She hadn't, as far as I remember. She hasn't. I just thought it was so... Like it gave her a little bit of points to me.
Right. We don't know. I mean, everyone always thinks that there's always the producer's input, and they probably had it marked on their calendar when the 2-on-1 date was going to happen, knowing it was going to be Jordan and somebody. Kept them around that long at least, and 2-on-1s are always good times to get rid of both people.
Right.
I think Jordan really has to rank as the least interesting villain in Bachelor history.
Yeah, because he doesn't understand alliances. He needed to, at least Chad had friends, Corinne was a lot socially smarter. He was boring because he was so steadfast in his idiocy and he was on his own.
Right. I mean, if he was really, really strikingly hot and only talked about being a model, I think that would probably make him more dimensional. Tom Cruise, we talked about him. He's a weird guy, obviously, in real life. And, you know, he photographs like anyone else, you know, walking down the street. But when he's on screen, he pulls you in.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt pulls you in. Bradley Cooper pulls you in. Like, this guy had none of that. If there was a draw through the television set, I think it would have made his constant modeling seem, you know, a little bit more cuter, maybe. He had nothing. I mean, he had nothing going on. The things he talked about was uninteresting because of that.
Yeah, he's kind of sexually inert. That's the other thing.
He's very little, if any, there was just no draw sexually, like you just said, Chris.
There, when, you know, whenever other guys in the mansion would watch their fight, they're bickering. They always kind of put this cutesy clown music in the background and had them all kind of cringing. When David left, they were like, oh, that's bad, even though they kind of treated them equally. But then when Jordan left, they celebrated.
Right.
It does give you a sense that Jordan was an annoying presence over David. And David was just, you know, I had a similar situation happen recently where, not really, not to me, but I went to a friend who has a stepdaughter, but has three other kids and is really fair with all of them. And the stepdaughter does whatever she wants. And so I said, how's blah, 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 how's your stepdaughter? And she goes off on this rant in front of her family. And I'm just kind of listening. And after the rant's over, she can tell she sounds unhinged, but she's the only one who gets mad about it. So everyone else kind of goes, So when all the anger comes to one person, when it accumulates in this one person the way it did with David, everyone else can kind of relax on Jordan. Mm-hmm. I feel like there has to always be someone who absorbs the the hate for everyone else and just stands up for that person. I think Bibiana did that last season, right? She kind of decided it was on her to fight for justice or something like that. But it makes people look a little unhinged sometimes, but typically they're right. And I think that would be me. So I'm always kind of, I would be the one who like, F this person. And then everyone feels more relaxed because I'm the one who's around. And I think when David left, they were like, now we're stuck with Jordan. Then when Jordan left, they were like, oh, good.
Right. They're moving on to Chris a little bit, although that is his fault. Okay. He has the blow up after the performance, which is a big part of the episode, in my opinion.
And we're just about to get there. Oh, Bibiana. They just announced the cast of the next Bachelor in Paradise today, and she is on the list.
Oh, good.
Hey.
Yeah.
I like Bibiana.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Bibiana?
People online. I liked her, too. I liked her, especially in Winter Games, right? She fell in love with the New Zealand or Australian guy.
Yeah. That's right. She showed a different side.
They couldn't work it out, and I totally get that. I was on her side about it. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work, and...
Yeah.
I wonder whatever happened to that one couple, the Lily and somebody.
Well, Emotional Intelligence broke up with her dude. Oh. It was announced in a couple days.
Yes. That's awesome. Stupid B word.
Pesky you said B. it, not me.
Yeah, she sucked. She sucked even more. You know, you get a different personality like we're talking about when you're on Bachelor in Paradise. She was exactly the same. Derek, right?
Yeah, something like that. Derek, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Derek, the lobotomized puppy.
He was so vulnerable during their one night.
Of these nicknames somewhere?
No, unfortunately.
It's just all kept up there. Okay, well, anyone have anything to say about Wayne Newton? I don't. I think there's not much to make fun of. The guy's successful and he's old and has had plastic surgery. But I think he has that thing going on when people have done too many facelifts where their mouth won't close. David Hasselhoff has it. So they can't pronounce the letter P or B. So their
lips are
all slurred. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but it's gross thinking about. It's like an eyeball.
And his teeth were like brighter than the Luxor light.
Well, I like that when he sings Donkey Kashan at first, he sings it one way, and then he says, but look, when I sing it to the love of my life, it's completely different, and he sings it exactly the same way. I laughed pretty hard at that, and that he said that all of their songs sucked, basically, in a little bit of a more polite way. I always like it when someone who is in a successful position like that passes harsh judgment on everyone else.
Well, yeah, he was honest, but it's hard to not think he's in a good mood because his lips won't close. Yeah, when he said, I'm going to sing it to the love of my life, I thought he was going to bring out the horse he rode in on.
I did too. I thought it was going to be a dog.
Oh, boy. I love how his house, I mean, I think a lot of, obviously, desert houses are like this, but it was like completely out in the middle of nowhere. It was like this circle of house out in the middle of this huge desert,
like Dr. Zhivago.
It was, like, I mean, the X-Files movie with the bees or whatever. When they have,
it was like The Stranger from the 60s. The Stranger, is that what it was called? Where there was a big bubble that would follow you around, and then the guy got left on an island. Do you guys remember that show?
Not here, Chris.
I don't know it.
Oh, well, maybe I'm combining a few. Maybe I'm combining Dr. Zhivago with The Stranger, but The Stranger is like a really famous old show where this guy got kidnapped and left on an island, and then there's a big bubble that follows him. You know what? I don't remember it that well, but I know that I think Iron Maiden has a lot of songs based on that show for some reason. And it's not a show that I would think. I don't know.
Well, there's the episode of like The Simpsons, like, where
crazy animals,
where they do The Shining, and as Marge is trying to escape, the bubble forms out of the bushes and follows her.
The Simpsons did a parody of The Stranger.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Stranger. But he wakes up and he's on this island with a bunch of different animals that don't belong together. And he's on this, you know, he's just on this island or something like that. I forgot. I haven't seen it in
really
years.
You're really selling it.
Well, I forgot all about it till right now. So
Wayne Newton's house reminds me of The Stranger. We'll have to look it up on Hulu.
Let's look it up because I don't remember anything about it, apparently.
I did cancel my Netflix. You'll be proud of me. I did. There's just nothing on there.
Canceled what?
My Netflix.
Best ad that Hulu could ever have.
Netflix doesn't have any movies anymore. It's gone all in with its TV shows, which just don't appeal to me. The only reason I was really keeping it around was for the OA second season, but they raised the prices again, so I assume I can just sign up for a month and then cancel again when the OA season 2 comes out.
You're the only person in the world, by the way, Craig, who has picked Hulu over Netflix, so well done. We love you for that.
Hulu's got everything. I mean, really. And I'm not just saying that because they're our unofficial sponsor, but they really do. I mean, I watched the first season of True Detective, which was amazing. And then I watched Westworld season 1 just last week. And that was amazing, sort of. I think Westworld is a little too self-congratulatory. I think in the era of the golden age of television, I don't think it's going to rank the highest. But
what, Craig?
It's just, I mean, get to the point. We all know where you're going with this maze thing.
Did you? You knew where they were going?
Artificial intelligence, but my God, get it over with.
Have you seen the second season?
No, I haven't started.
I haven't even started the second season, but I loved the first, but I also loved the movie, right? The Michael Crichton movie from the 70s.
Yeah, there was a follow-up to Futureville or whatever.
Future World.
Yeah, there was a few of them. Yeah, there was but there was a lot of good. What I really liked about that, the first season, I haven't seen the second because I was saving it, and then I wanted to have a few episodes accumulated, but not the whole season. And now I feel so far behind that I got to wait for a little bit longer. But I love that even though they did the same kind of thing every week, there was this kind of new commentary on AI that wasn't just the same old iRobot commentary of we need to have laws and we need to respect them, and if they are gaining consciousness, what does that mean? There was a little bit more layers than that.
I wanted a spin-off podcast for second season when you've both seen it, because in a really broad sense, I would say I started where you are, ECR, but after the second season, I feel closer to where Craig is, where it's so self-congratulatory that I'm a little bit, I don't know if I'm going to watch the next season.
Well, it's like they're the only ones who know about this didactic brain thing, hypothesis. I don't know what they call it in brain science, but it's been around since like the 60s and 70s, but they're the first ones to have ever come up with it.
Oh, it's the whole bicameral mind thing.
Yeah, bicameral, that's the word. But, you know, Jonathan Nolan likes layers, right? He wrote Inception and all that.
Yeah, and the second season is, I don't even think it knows what layers it's in. If anyone can explain the season finale, I would be forever grateful because it's so convoluted.
Okay, now you got me thinking about watching it. I always sit down and I'm like, what am I supposed to watch? I've totally forgot.
See, easier. That's how you pull someone into wanting to watch a show.
Tell them it's horrible.
Chris just did there.
Tell them it's not worth it, is what she basically said. So, yeah.
Oh, well, I watched the whole season, so it was worth it enough to stay with it. But I'm concerned.
I hate that. When they set up such a good premise in the first season is so good, but I've also uncharacteristically liked the second season of things when they get deeper, or the part two. You know, I like True Detective part two. I like Hellraiser 2. I like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I think they're always like these, but I haven't seen this. HBO tends to buy into its own hype too. So maybe they know that they're good. The writers, right? It's Christopher Nolan's brother and someone else, this lady. And then
Lisa Joy.
Yeah, exactly. And then they end up kind of eating themselves because they're so excited about, they hadn't planned this far ahead kind of thing. Right. Even though HBO rarely cancels shows.
Well, that's a great way of putting it, because I think if the third season is good, I would look back on the second season and say, okay, it's fitting. But if the third season falls apart, it's like you can look at the second season and say, oh yeah, it got way in over its head. So it could go either way.
That's what we're all thinking about Stranger Things, right? Is the second season wasn't as good, but if it sets up a great third season, then we'll forgive it or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Never forgiving it.
Well, speaking of...
I don't like it in the first place.
Speaking of the Desert West, we are in Red Rock Canyon with Jordan, Becca, and Chicken. I'm 80% sure I've stood in that exact location. I stood up for a buddy getting married. There were only four of us. Another person, we were the witnesses. And I'm sure there's multiple spots in Red Rock Canyon, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's just kind of one spot where they do these kinds of things, because it looks really, really familiar. I gotta say, it's super duper pretty.
It doesn't look super duper pretty from on the TV.
Yeah, the red's not really coming out. It's way red.
So maybe not the exact location. Their skin tones are kind of blending in a little bit because they're flush. Oh. So maybe it's a flat lack of contrast.
Yeah, we brought in umbrellas, and that was what came to my mind. It's, if you have this tent thing, I would be sitting under that the entire time. I would not be sitting out under the rocks like that.
Right.
That sun.
It looks horrible, and there's so much stuff to do they could have done in Vegas. I mean, not really. They could go to the Hoover Dam, though. They could do something else. They don't have to go to this desolate and then leave the poor guy in the desert.
Yeah, they could go to that place where you, like, can shoot machine guns and stuff.
Yeah, they could do it.
They could go to the outlet malls.
The what?
The outlets.
The outlet malls. Yeah, they could have gone to the Hoover Dam.
They could have gone to Craig Road, the big barrier road on the north side of Vegas.
Oh, I don't know. See, you know, they could have gone to that Simpson house that got made.
They could have gone to the
real life Simpson house, which is
generally considered the best buffet.
They could have gone to the Clown Hotel where there's all those clowns right outside Vegas.
I would watch that.
Not Circus Circus?
But no. This is a hotel that has clowns, like just paraphernalia. But apparently it's also haunted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well,
but see,
Chicken and Becca... Jordan have to fight, so they need... I would vote Machine Guns or Clown House, because those are great fighting locations.
Yeah.
So here's the part... Where if you guys are looking right now at Jordan, I could not stop looking at his stupid teeth. Yeah. He has these back, he never ate. I don't know. He never whittled them down like you're supposed to. Well, so he has these great fangs.
I know what you're saying. I think if other podcasts that are a little bit more snarky than us are to be trusted, it's general practice before you go on reality TV to get caps in and file them down so they're all perfectly straight and glossy. He didn't do that, but I have pointy teeth like that because I have Romanian background. That's where the whole vampire Dracula thing comes from. Yeah, that part of the world. We have like pointy teeth. So when you posted on our Instagram that close-up picture of his teeth, I was like, yeah, go pointy teeth guy. But you're right. That immediately jumped out at me when watching this episode.
I would never have cared, except that he's a model.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have said that of a banker. I'd be like, well, whatever. Unless he was super snarky about his looks, I wouldn't have thought about it. But he's a model and he has these, strange. Thanks. I think it looks like he's wearing those. But yeah, the Dracula fangs that you get on Halloween.
Chris, or are your teeth more flat?
I grind my teeth, so a lot of them are flat in the wrong way, but I do have the fangs as well.
All right.
I have
the
fangs.
Worst of all worlds.
Fangs for everyone.
I have fangs too, except that they don't go past my regular teeth.
Right. Well, everyone has pointy, you know, whatever teeth those are, but it's whether or not they come down past your front teeth or not, yeah. Which mine do. I'm descendant of Dracula.
Which is super cool. Well, I think Jordan... Because of the shape of his head and the shape of his nose and the way he smiles, he looks like this British comedian, Carl Pilkington, who's associated with Ricky Gervais a lot of times to me. But I love Carl Pilkington and I hate Jordan. Yeah. I don't know if anyone else has pointed that out or if it's only me that thinks that. But whenever I see him, he always looks like an American Carl Pilkington. Carl is bald. Jordan has hair. But I'll put that out there. Jordan is Carl.
I know who you're talking about, but I've never seen him because I've only heard him on that Ricky Gervais podcast where they make fun of that stupid guy. Or I don't know. They called him stupid, I think.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
He is
Carl
the stupid
is
guy.
The
oh.
one that they're always saying, and they say he has a head like an effing orange and all of these things.
Right, yes. That's Carl. I didn't mean to call him stupid, but I mean, that's what they say, right?
Yeah, a lot of the show is them making fun of how stupid he is, so I think you're okay to say that.
I was thinking about my words. I can't use that. But the dumb. I mean, they make fun of him for not knowing common knowledge. Basically.
Yeah, most of the comedy is him saying really stupid things and them egging him on. But they also kind of love. It's a weird. I don't think a lot of that stuff is from 10 plus years ago. In a way, I don't know if it would play as well, you know, this decade. But I love it. And that's Jordan. But. Yeah, I guess he's a vampire, too. I wouldn't have noticed the pointy teeth if you guys hadn't brought that up.
Well, some of those old Mel Brooks tapes. Who was his partner for all those years?
Paul Reiner. Wait, what are you talking about? Right.
Back before Mel Brooks, like way back, he had a...
The producers?
Well, I guess it would be that era. But he had a stand-up comedian partner who's also famous, who I can't think of. But they did everything together, all their stand-up together. And they would like interview each other and character. And those are so funny to this day. So I think some comedy transcends time.
Well, you know, when David Letterman used to come out with, he used to have some guy backstage that was like a comic book nerd or something like that. But this was 15 years ago. And he'd be like, what is blah, blah, blah upset of today? And he'd sit in a recliner and say, you know, I really don't like that season 3 of Star Trek had this person when obviously the actor was this person before. And then, you know, he'd have these tiny little comments and they were really cute and funny, but he wasn't making fun of him. And it was a cute little segment that could still play well today because it doesn't say he's stupid or it makes fun of him, but in a cute way. Yeah. So there's a line that you could say.
When I was young, when David Letterman had just moved to CBS, he had a Christmas tree set up for December that would talk shit to him. It was so funny. Like whenever Dave told a bad joke, it would say, Dave, that sucked, man. It was kind of a prelude to Craig Ferguson and, you know,
and the robot.
I'm sure this is making fascinating podcast for our Bachelor Masters listeners.
Now that we're back to the date, I just want to say, because she uses the word settling and then she gets, you know, gets upset.
Did you use the word settle?
She gets upset that what we've been saying all along is happening, that no one's interested in her. You know, we were just talking about how her dates have sucked.
Right.
She could go to the Clown Motel. All she's been doing is weird competitions and outdoor things that aren't really outdoorsy things. They didn't go on a hike. They hung out on a bed,
right?
You know, and then they go to dinner. And I do think they have some leeway to do what they want. And if you don't speak up and say, I want to go here, then you get sent to Richmond, Virginia or wherever. I have a Becca saying to Chris basically what we're saying, that she doesn't, but I like the way she handles herself. Let's listen to this for 1 second.
You didn't take the initiative to come find me, and especially after everything that happened last week with Jean Blanc, you know, I'm taking this so seriously and I'm picking apart every interaction and conversation. And so yesterday, with all the drama going on between David and Jordan, there was a comment made that you might not know if you want to be here. And it's a lot for me to take in when I have so many solid guys and like relationships are forming and I'm picking apart and what I see and what I
hear. I would have already left. I would have left that night.
I want a teammate, 50-50. And I feel like that night that didn't happen. And then after that, comments were made.
Ooh, it's getting
still showed that that didn't happen. And that's not happening.
Comments were made. Okay, that's great. But that's them. And I'm
she's acknowledging that no one likes her. I really did feel that.
You're cherry picking the moments when people don't show interest, so of course she's going to feel like it in those moments. But moments, she has Colton. She has other people who I think do have interest. I think Wills has really stepped up both last episode and this episode. I mean, Chris just really acted in a really bad way. He was ego tripping, I think, and he thinks he's either a lot more magnetic or good looking or something than he is, and he got called on it, rightfully so, and he got really nervous.
Just so I'm absolutely really clear, Chris is Ben Stiller guy.
I felt like he's handling any kind of rejection badly, and the rejection at that point wasn't even rejection. It was just her not making time for him when that's not the way things go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably because he has his own rejection, and he acted like a kid because he's emotionally triggered from his past, because didn't he say his dad abandoned him? And then he tried to reach out to his dad, and his dad never got back to him. It feels like he's doing this regression, and he doesn't know. He's trying his best to get over it because he's on TV and he doesn't want to look bad. Also, maybe he does like her. She's acknowledging that things are going wrong at a higher rate of frequency than they do for other bachelorettes. Is that true, Chris?
No, I would say that's false, that she reacts to people that treat her badly. I still see these as one-offs, that Chris treats her badly, she reacts, that the two-on-one goes badly, she reacts, But I don't see her bringing that into these relationships that are going well. So I don't know if I'm seeing
right.
it.
Wills, first time we've mentioned him in this episode, because he comes across awesome. But as soon as Ben Stiller guy leaves, finally, Wills jumps back down on the couch and they go right back into like cuddling and kissing.
He comes across awesome. I thought that was pretty emasculating of him to do.
Yeah,
to Chris.
But,
well,
not, Chris, not that he's not,
not
right.
That he was in, I thought he was in the right. I thought he handled that really well.
He was
well
in the right,
also.
He handled it well, and he was super... Going back to your what you guys are arguing about, Becca isolated Ben Stiller, so as soon as Will sat back down, it was all Will's.
Becca is grounded enough to not take the non-interest in her personally. Or, you know, to just be like, you know what, I'm not for everyone. All I'm looking for is one person. I'm not looking for 20 guys to fall in love with me. I'm looking for one, which I think is healthy.
My take is that I think Becca has a normal rate of interest from these guys, and she reacts well to guys that are interested in her and poorly to ones that aren't. And I think that we've got some people who are stepping forward who are more interested. And she's forming relationships with them that, in a way, I don't really see as being different from past seasons. And these examples that are being brought up to show that guys are less interested in her, I think are one-offs that she's taking care of as they come up. I still don't see a higher rate of disinterest than, like, JoJo or Rachel.
Do you think Lincoln likes her?
No.
Colton actually likes her.
Do you think Corinne really liked Ari?
Exactly.
You mean Nick?
Yeah, that Corinne liked the person she was on, that whoever was there that season.
Oh, Nick. You're right.
I think Craig is starting to come up with the counterexamples, though. That's what I would look at, is any season, I think I see a lot of disinterest. I think I see, first of all, I think this has come up over the last few seasons, that we just have a different view of how genuine people are and should be in general, where I think I'm just more cynical and assume mostly everyone's mostly disingenuous. And okay, some genuine feelings might come out of that. But that's why I think a high rate of people not being interested is pretty normal.
Let me put it this other way. Do you think that Becca has bad instincts and is letting go of guys that genuinely might like her, like John and Chicken David?
No.
I don't think she has bad instincts. I think we might not have discussed it on air as much, but my feeling is she's, since the beginning, been pretty good about balancing being aggressive and getting rid of bad actors or people she doesn't want and giving people a chance. So I think she has pretty good instincts.
Do you think Wills likes her? Really?
Yeah, as much as we could say at this point. I mean, he's difficult because he's so quiet, but yeah, I think as much as anyone.
I'm going to be the Chris of this episode and try to mediate the difference here. I think there's like really two things in play, because I'm starting to come around to what Chris is saying, that previous podcasts, I've been totally on EZR's train about the guys being disinterested more generally than in past episodes, but I think I see what Chris is saying, where she's kind of being more strategic in eliminating guys more quickly, because remember the Iowa dude who got away with murder in real life? He kept that twin around till hometowns.
Are you talking about Ben keeping one of the twins, the blonde twins?
Oh, was it Ben? I always make that mistake. You're right. It was Ben. He kept one of the twins around. I mean, come on. There was no chance. So I see what Chris is saying. I think the six guys that are left are genuinely interested in her, and that's what's kind of making me come around.
Well, what about Kendall and Ari? I mean, there was never going to be anything there. There was barely anything there to keep her to be a memorable name.
Yeah, I think that supports my point, that I don't think there's a higher incidence of that this season than past seasons.
She's getting rid of them quicker than past half. So that the six that she's left with are more into her than a Kendall, than a twin, so on and so forth.
My only like rebuttal, that will be my last rebuttal, I promise, is that Kendall, I feel, really liked Ari. And Ari is that kind of special kind of good looking, that he can be a complete repeating the things back to the girls that they just said and keep an interesting conversation for such a long time, because people are blindsided by his beauty, and that's not happening with Becca.
Yeah. So that was going to be the second part of, you know, when I said there's kind of two things in play. I totally agree with that. And we've tried to touch on this carefully because we don't want to look shame. But the fact of the matter is that Becca, we have to come right out and say it easier. I mean, we've done it past episodes. She's just not as high caliber pretty as, let's just compare to Ari. Ari was a high caliber pretty. Becca's not, so.
I was going to say, compared to Rachel or JoJo, I think she's just as pretty.
Yeah, and you said that last week, Chris, which is in easier.
It's honorable of you, Chris.
Everyone has an opinion of looks and beauty, but
right,
she has some features that don't work to her advantage, and I think that immediate draw that easier is kind of talking about that there was with Ari that let some of his traits be overlooked at first are not there with Becca, so it's a little bit more apparent that the guys have to kind of like get into her more than Ari.
But Chris, how many times have you heard at one of these group dates, the first thing that they do once the bachelor or bachelorette stops talking is, can I steal you for a second? I have not heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
Nope.
They don't want to steal
well,
for a second.
Well, I guess
They don't care.
You even if you are right on that, I guess my point is, I don't know if that really points to, I think that points to a different kind of attraction. So that's why in the past I'll say, well, I think her personality is less magnetic than some of these other bachelor and bachelorettes. And it takes it's like you're getting on month 5 or 6 of a relationship rather than those like initial butterflies. But I don't know if that points to people being less into her. I think, yeah, you're pointing to less dynamism at the start, but I think it's just a different thing. And I don't know if it makes her less compelling overall.
Okay, now for real is my one last thing. Let's picture alternate reality here, alternate history, future like history. We're traveling through wormhole space, and we're landing at the Disneyland Space Mountain. And here is Becca. Week 5, definitely not as accomplished as a person because she's so young. Would guys be telling her right now, I'm in love with you? Oh my God, she's so beautiful. Wouldn't they be girly gushing at this point?
But what's the measure of success? Do we want to flash forward and think that she's in a successful relationship out of this? I think she has a better shot than a lot of the contestants I've seen on the show. And I think that there could be actual real feelings. I think that kind of Becca thing that, and I even see, you know, I see that kind of star quality. I think that flames out really quick, though. Mm-hmm. I think that's the kind of thing where it's like, if I met Becca, I would really like her for a month, and then I don't know if there'd be anything left.
Can you imagine the guys that signed up thinking it could be Becca? Can you imagine the guys that would be like, I'll take care of you. I'm a 40-year-old tycoon of business that wants to take care of you and you to be my wife forever. And they'd be literally crawling over, like, you know, pulling each other down viciously just to have a chance to have some time with her. I've seen that happen on The Bachelorette.
Yeah. I guess I think people that go on the show, if they go on to have a shot at that kind of relationship, that's where I think I'm more cynical, where I think you're stupid if you can't get that in your normal life. I think you should go on to these shows for these purposes that I know you don't like as much, like plugging your brand or whatever. I actually think you're smarter if that's your first goal is to do that, because why are you looking for real human connection on this reality show? That's a recipe for disaster. I think you should go on to be like, I'm going to plug my personality, my brand. If something works out, great, but that's not my first instinct to be here.
Well, I think they go on looking for these, I mean, in terms of men, I think they go on looking for these impossible women in terms of they would never have, that would never happen in real life. There's a girl who's, and I'm saying successful because she's 22 and I don't know if she's ever gone to college. But for a 40-year-old
tycoon, you don't think in that hypothetical you brought up that they couldn't pull someone like Becca in their own life?
Well, maybe he wants, like you said, maybe he wants to do two things at once, right? Get his brand plugged and get a girl that he thinks is the girl that is right for him because of a show.
You're hinting at like that show, The Millionaire Matchmaker, which I'm positive of our listeners have watched. Her big thing is we're not getting you women you normally get or go for. We want to find you a long-term relationship, and it's going to be a different type of girl. With that in mind, the fact that we're slow boiling these relationships, then it would lead to what Chris is saying, which is it probably will end up as a more solid relationship.
Okay, my point of reference is not that old. It's actually from where Ari came from is Emily.
Right.
That's my point of reference. She was on the murder.
Classical beauty, right?
Every American guy, whatever, 50s standard of American dude likes her. I mean, and the first week they were all just drooling. And then they finally, were able to talk to her on the second week. And they couldn't talk to her without saying, right. Wow, it's really hard to look at you, blah, blah, blah. You're just so beautiful. I when I saw you on the show, I just knew I had to go on. That's my standard right now. So it's a hard,
saying that's the norm? For the show?
I don't know if that's the norm, but I know that Caitlin, the guy that won, Sean, took a picture of the TV and circled her face and put it on social media or somehow sent it to someone and said, I'm coming for you. If you're going to be the next Bachelorette, I'm going to be there.
I think it used to be the norm before we started Bachelor.
Yeah. I was going to say, maybe this is where the point of difference is coming from, because my points of reference for Bachelorette being JoJo and Rachel, maybe that's why I'm not seeing as much of a difference on this season, where it feels pretty normal. It feels like what I've watched the last few years.
Right. Well, in another way, they've really been pushing the second place runner-up gets to be the Bachelor Bachelorette, which they didn't used to do, right?
Well, right. They kind of did. They've done it for a few years now, but Becca is definitely, or not Becca, but Becca is definitely an old guard bachelorette made to be the bachelorette. She's pretty and that's it. And now they're pushing for this.
Well, she's got a pretty magnetic personality.
Oh,
too.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
you have
we talked about at length last.
Right, but you don't need a career per se, right? She's working on a pot farm. Exactly. Yeah. So, and they were pushing for Tia and they got Becca by popular demand or at least for reparations. And that's where we're at. But I really think that Becca would have been if they wanted to throw back and give us an old fashioned kind of thing to, old Bachelor, it would have been Becca. This is my kind of reference point. That's why it's hard to prove. But I think I'm traveling the lines of the Bachelor producers.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I just think that's a different point than what we were initially debating. I can see what you're saying, that there'd be other people who have different characteristics that would make a different Bachelorette. But I don't know if that means that the men would be more or less interested in that person. I just think it would make different TV.
Right. Well, on the proposal last night, I wouldn't have thought she would have picked those two guys to be.
No.
Right? Maybe we don't know, and this is just the luck of the draw that the guys seem a little less magnetized by her, by Becca. Or, maybe it takes a certain personality type, or maybe it takes a certain level of looks.
Well, that's a good point, because I think the personality types that Becca is gelling with are also lower key personality types than some of the past seasons that I've seen. So I think that that does have an effect on both sides, where I'm thinking of Wills is obviously very low key. I would even say, is it Grant? Garrett. No, is it Blake? Is the one that looks like a little 50s comic book, boy character?
Yeah, that's Blake.
Yeah.
Blake. Yeah, that's Blake. Yeah, I think Blake is also, he's kind of got this gee whiz kind of little smile, but I wouldn't call him like magnetic personality. But I think they really get along. When I see them together, I think they're very compatible.
Absolutely, her top two are the best fit for her. But
well, I think it's three, right? I think it's gonna. Well, I think who else? Wills, Garrett.
Wills. I don't know.
Totally.
I see him creeping up too.
I don't see that only because I don't think she actually. See, here's the thing too. She, despite all her talk, she does need validation from men because she's kissing Wills. She needed Wills after the whole Jean Blanc thing, and it's. I don't think it's genuine on her part. I don't know about him. I don't think he's being very genuine either. He's a little rude. Yeah. Why is he rude? He comes back and he gloats about it. And
I honestly, maybe it's because I relate to Wills.
Chris is wrong.
He's kind of sly like that. And I kind of like Wills.
Well, I think he would have come off worse. I think that's one of those moments where you have to stand your ground. It is maybe, yeah. I'm bad on gender dynamic things, but if I would say it seems like a more masculine thing where it's your challenge socially. Wills is exactly right that Chris was taking time, not just from him, but from a lot of other people. If he just backed off and said, yeah, have it, that's fine. He looks worse in that situation. Yeah.
Well, and I think he needed to stand up. When he says, I'm going to ask you politely to leave, please. That was the perfect.
I totally agree. I thought he didn't boil over. He was very clear in what he was saying, but he did it without seeming aggressive. It's a really fine line to walk.
It was very cringy on Chris's part. Chris was saying like, yeah, "Can I have some more, please?" Like he literally said, "Can I have some more, please?"
And then he goes at the end. What the F, man?
It was so emasculating. I mean, emasculating. He emasculated himself. I don't disagree.
I think that could have launched Venmo into being the next Bachelor, because now everyone loves Venmo because he basically took the bullet for Chris getting the rose after all that. People love Venmo now, on, at least on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
I had never downloaded that app before. Like, when he got cut, I downloaded it, and I will only use Venmo now. I love it.
That's sweet of
you. PayPal, sorry, you had a chance. I could have gotten someone on the show.
I think PayPal owns Venmo.
Do they?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure.
That's funny.
Serious. I'm pretty sure.
I never thought that would be the case. That's funny. And PayPal, not that I'm, was owned by Yahoo. Okay. I don't know, right? I don't know if that's the case anymore.
Oh, yeah. No one cares about antitrust laws anymore. This is the opposite of what I learned in Economics 101. I was like, doesn't everyone care about this? Nope, no one cares. Back to this real quick. I don't know what these men discuss. You know, they spend enough time together that they're obviously become very good friends for life. You know, we know that from past episodes. And when Venmo leaves, he says something like, when I'm in San Francisco, I'll look you up, man. I forget what he says, but he leaves. And Chris quickly said, in the first episode we ever got to know him, or maybe the second one, he said, my dad left me and I have all these issues with being insecure, and you know, he acts like a kid, and on some level that came out, right? So at least Wills, if he has that background on him, he should be a little bit like, okay, man, look, you're having problems with rejection, you're considering this a rejection. And I don't know, I'm not really defending him that much as I seem to. I just didn't like that kind of attitude from Wills personally.
I certainly don't. I just liked Will. I can only speak more as an individual that I thought, I know what you mean, that moment when Chris comes back and Wills is kind of smiling at him, and Wills kind of baits him and says, oh, what's up, man? And the reason I thought that was good was, you know, that he stopped it from being a passive aggressive thing. You know that Chris has that on his mind. So you got to clear the air. So the way he did it was, look, I'm not going to back down, but let's talk about it. And rather than it being a massive blow up, he finished it there.
So Chris and I are team Wills, and we know you're easier. You're team.
Definitely not
Leo.
Team Chris. Leo. Oh, Leo. Hell yes.
See,
Leo.
I think yes. Leo.
Definitely
is
team
a,
Leo.
I like Leo.
Is a good bet for number four. How many hometowns do they
you
do?
Think?
Do they do four hometowns or three?
Four?
I think, you know, if this was basketball, the, you know, March Madness or something, I think I'd walk down to the casino and put $10 on Leo to make the final four.
Do you?
And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I podcast with you, Ezio, and I know he's your favorite.
He's so cool. Look at him. He's just sitting there.
Well, we know it's not going to be Ben Stiller. And
right.
We can eliminate the guy who is in jail now. Or has he already been eliminated?
Lincoln. Right.
I mean, it's just, there's, and that's four, right? Who are the six? Blake?
Blake,
Garrett,
Grant.
Leo.
Yeah.
I mean, Garrett. How can Leo not make it in the top four at this point?
Because I think that Grandpa Munster is going to edge him out.
Yeah, he's the dark horse, isn't he? She likes him. He doesn't get a lot of screen time, but whenever they're on screen together, she really likes Grandpa Munster.
And what's his name?
I think it's Jason.
Jason, yeah. Okay. She even forgot his name. But,
that's
yeah.
Right.
And, like, I don't think this Connor is going to go very far, although he's squeaking by somehow. You know, Connor is the one who threw the Lincoln's picture in the
right.
pool.
And he, and now did he have the thing with Tia?
No, that's Colton.
That's Colton. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Colton. Colton could be it before. You're right.
Now, if you have a widow's peak, why would you keep slicking your hair back is my biggest question.
Can you shave?
He looks like Ben.
I've never really known.
Yes, I've seen people do it. Yeah, I've seen people do it. He looks like Belle, like Beauty and the Beast Belle. Like he does the little side thing and then he lets it go forward a little bit. I don't. They must have something that we can't see because it's strange. She keeps letting him go. Although he likes her.
Maybe this will change. My thought will change next episode when we actually get a reversal of who gets featured, right?
Yeah.
Will fades into the background and Grandpa Munster fades forward.
You know who Chris reminds me of? Remember the third guy Rachel sent home that she went to his hometown and he had a bad childhood? I forget his name, but he was kind of a jerk after The Bachelorette aired. I think you guys liked him.
Was it Eric?
Eric, right?
Oh, Eric from Baltimore.
He was from Baltimore, yes.
Yeah, I liked Eric.
That's who Ben Stiller reminds me of, just their background stories. They're very, very insecure, but they try to pass it off like they're not, and then they reach a boiling point, and then they react one way or the other. They do react different ways, but I think their boiling points are at the same place of like nothing. You know, they're like, what? How? Why are you mad? Why are you acting this way?
That's a fair assessment. All right. Well, unless anyone else has anything on their mind, I guess we can call it quits for today.
We can say RIP to Ben. Look at how sad he looks.
Yeah.
He already looks devastated he's being sent home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought Chris Harrison's only sentence was, because there was only one person cut, because he addressed Venmo personally when he comes out. He usually says, all right, gentlemen, that's it, period. If, you know, you didn't get a rose, say your goodbyes. This time he comes out and just says, Venmo, say your goodbyes, period. But it turns out he said something earlier in the episode. I think I missed it, but one of the podcasts mentioned it. Or was this his only sentence? Because if it is his only sentence, it's an all-time low for Chris Harrison involvement.
Chris Harrison's a busy man. He's got to get straight onto Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He can't be on set that often anymore.
It's true what Chris is saying. He used to be a lot more present. Go with them places, talk to each other. Now it's not there. It's interesting.
He shows up. Puts the tux on, says, say your goodbyes, and that's it.
You know, the back of that game has a picture of him looking very young. I'll take a picture of it for our Instagram.
It's been on a while. He probably said to Jason, listen, I'll Venmo you for those drinks we had. See you later, buddy.
I invented the app. He's pretty sad about it. I feel bad for him. I thought he was good looking, but whatever. Well, I'm glad he's gone.
He's crying all the way to the bank, I'm sure.
Yeah,
exactly. He'll be okay.
Richmond, Virginia, guys. So exciting.
Oh, yeah. We're going to Richmond.
Woo. That's what I think when I get told that. What is there? This is another reason. She is so, that is so boring. She could say something. She could be like, let's go ski in Virginia. Let's go to the coal mines and hang out. I don't know. But something exciting. Yeah. Not, oh, guys, guess where? This is boring. Like, she has just a boring, boring outlook.
Oops. Yeah. Well, in the tease for the next episode, it looks like they're doing something having to do with politics.
Yeah,
they have to get political. Yeah. Okay.
And here comes the real thing, Chris, because this is where they say, some guys don't like you in the house. So I'm just going to let that float on you for a week and let you decide how wrong
but
you
was
were.
That, no, was that supposed to be directed at her? Right. I thought it was directed against one of the guys.
Editor misdirection.
Right, right. It's just making us excited for next week. But you are making me think that I got to do a cut of all the time she's like, love me, you know, with her mind, but saying something else.
Hey, well, I'd love to see that, and I will laugh just as hard as anyone who sees that. That would be a great cut.
Pile on, guys, pile on. I was so sad. That's the best part.
You see how dedicated we Bachelor Masters are to the cause here, fair listener.
Just to prove our theories, or my theory.
Well, if you've made it this far, listeners, I'm sorry. But do follow us on social media. Thanks to EZR, we now have an Instagram, which is The Bachelor Masters, one word. Our Twitter is roaring along. That's at Bachelor Masters, one word. And then Facebook, just look up The Bachelor Masters. We will see you there. All right, y'all. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.